And I feel the need to just jump right into the Word of God, because I feel like God wants to say something. I feel like He wants to give us something. I just want to follow this anointing after this worship set, and I want us to go right in. How many of you brought a Bible tonight? Talk to me, y'all. How many of you brought your Bible tonight? How many didn't bring a Bible? How many of you got a digital Bible? Let me see, digit. Good, good. You count too. So if you have a digital Bible or a physical Bible, let me see them. Throw them up. Okay, all right, let's get into the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry, we got you covered. We put you on the screen, so you can follow along with me. I'm going to jump into 1 Samuel chapter 16. I'm going to be preaching about this dude named David. Now, I need to set this up. I'm going to let the Word set it up. Let's do that. Let's let the Word speak first. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We'll start with verse number 1. To be homiletically correct, I'll say it one more time. 1 Samuel chapter number 16, verse number 1. And it reads, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king amongst his sons.' And Samuel said, 'How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me.' But the Lord said, 'Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one that I name to you.' So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, 'Do you come peaceably?' And he said, 'Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice.' Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice." Verse 6, "So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" Somebody say heart. "So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass by Samuel and said, 'Neither has the Lord chosen this one.' Then Jesse made Shemaiah pass by and he said, 'Neither has the Lord chosen this one.' Thus Jesse made seven of his sons passed before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, 'The Lord has not chosen these.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Are all the young men here?' Then he said, 'There yet remains the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here.' So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking." All the ladies say amen. "And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is the one.' And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is the one.' And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is the one.' Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah." My challenge today is to talk to you this evening from the subject matter, "Let it flow." Let it flow. It's time to stop the drought. And it's time for you to be everything that God called you to be right now, for such a time as this. Because the earth is waiting for the sons and the daughters of God to reveal themselves. And you, my brother, are the David that your generation is waiting for. You, my sister, are the Davina that your generation is waiting for. There is no other answers. You are the only answer. And God is waiting for you to let it flow. Let us pray. Awesome God, do your thing. Amen. Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all so much. That's real good. Can y'all come back and join me towards the end? Okay, cool. Y'all come back, join me. We're going to have a Holy Ghost good time at the end. Amen. David is probably the most notable person of the Old Testament. David is probably the most preached about, most talked about, the most historic person in the Old Testament. Most of us have heard a story about David. We've seen David. We've heard about David. Of course, most of us, when we first were introduced to David, if we were children, if we grew up in church, we heard about David and Goliath and how David sling a smooth stone into the head or the forehead of Goliath, and Goliath fell from not from David's force as a young boy, but from the force that was behind what David threw, that the Lord was behind, and it sunk into the giant's forehead, and he fell forward, not backwards, to show the power of the Lord. Somebody say amen. Yeah, so we've heard about David. We've heard about that. Or maybe you heard about David who slayed his tens of thousands, but Saul slayed his thousands. And so we hear about this prolific soldier that he was, and how amazing and masculine he was in battle. And he was amazing. And maybe you heard about the other side of David, because in addition to David being a warrior, because you couldn't run up on David any kind of way. David would cut you. David, you had to approach David slowly. You had to come up on David slowly. You had to ease into it, because David was a warrior. David was a protector of sheep. David was amazing. David was a warrior, but he also had this dual nature of, he could flip from being this warrior, this Conan warrior who swings his sword and slays thousands and thousands of people, to this other side where he becomes this worshiper. He was a worshiping warrior. All my ladies say amen. My brothers that are looking to be married, my brothers who love the Lord, my brothers who are in church and are serious about God, if you take your worship up, then just maybe, the right individual might be attracted to you, because there is nothing greater, every woman in here can testify, there is nothing greater than a worshiping man. I'm talking about a man who knows how to lift his hands and call on the name of Jesus. I'm talking about a man who doesn't need music, who doesn't need drums, who doesn't need cymbals, who doesn't need keys to be played, and he can just get lost in the presence of God all by himself, because he is a worshiper at nature. Somebody say, I'm a worshiper. If you're a man in here, I need you to touch the other man and say, are you a worshiper? Yeah, see, we got to lose this macho thing that we've got, where we feel like we can't worship God, especially in public. Let me tell you something. David had a situation one time, and they had made him king. See, I'm just giving you some history first. David, they had made him king of all of Israel. And he said, hold on, we can't have no real party unless the presence of the Lord is here. So we can't party like we need to party until we go get the Ark of the Covenant. So he goes down and he retrieves the Ark of the Covenant with 20,000. And other men that had went down to go get the Ark of the Covenant, because he was so convincing that he needed the presence of God, that he convinced 20,000 other men to go down and worship with him to go get the Ark of the Covenant. Now, he didn't bring the Ark of the Covenant back a regular way like everybody else would. He brought it back, and it killed somebody at first, because you can't play with the presence of God. Then he left it in the house of Obed-Edom. He left it there. He says, listen, I'm just going to leave it here, because I don't want to play with this thing. If it's killing people, we just need to watch it for a minute. So he puts it down, but he comes back for the presence of God, because he couldn't do without it. He had to come back. And he heard about how Obed-Edom's house was being blessed because the presence of the Lord. He says, yes, I knew that the presence of the Lord brought about blessing. Let me go get this ark. So he brings the ark into Israel, and he begins to march his way into Israel. And the Bible says that he would take several paces, and he would just begin to flail before the Lord, and he would be excited before the Lord, and he would sing and dance, and he would do all these great things, because David was a worshiping warrior. We all know David to be one of the greatest kings of all of Israel. We all know that David was God's choice, but I want to talk a little bit about David's journey and David's beginning, because it's easy to talk about the final chapter, and it's easy to get excited about how it all ended, because he ended in a glorious way. But how many of you know that for every great thing, it has a small beginning? So I want to take a few moments and I just want to work a little bit of this story to help us understand David's beginning, because David had some things that happened to him along the way of becoming this great king, of coming into the position that God called him to come into, that I think is worth us discovering and talking a little bit about, because I feel like there's some Davids in this room. There's some giant killers. There's some demon slayers. There's some anointed soldiers in the room. And God has marked you for such a time as this. Marked. And they've marked you for such a time as this, and you can't get away from it. It just chases you down. You get pulled in and you try to fit in, but you stand out. So you just can't do the stuff you used to do, because God has something inside of you that he needs you to pull out of you for your generation. Somebody say amen. So I want to talk a little bit about some of these things. But before I get into that, how many cartoon fans do I have in the room? Okay, five of you. So listen, let me tell you, when I was little, I'll just be honest with you, I'm an 80s baby. I was born in 83. Okay. And an idea of a great Saturday morning when I was younger as a kid was to sit in front of the television with a big bowl of Captain Crunch cereal with the biggest spoon that you could find. And if you didn't have milk, if you were from the hood like I was, you used water with a little sugar. What y'all know about that water with a little sugar? Hello, somebody. Captain Crunch. Crunch berries. Yes, come on, somebody. Yeah, Fruit Loops. Apple Jacks. Hello, somebody. Somebody's getting hungry. Yeah! And the most excited you've been all day. And I would sit in front of the television and I would watch cartoons. Now, I'm not talking about these things that you call cartoons nowadays, because you got to be careful what you qualify as cartoons nowadays, because you can't even allow your kids to watch some of this stuff that they say as cartoons nowadays. You got to watch over their shoulders and make sure they're not hearing crude things and stuff that they shouldn't hear. I'm talking about real cartoons like Tiny Toons Adventures. Come on, somebody. I'm talking Bugs Bunny. I'm talking Daffy Duck. I'm talking Tom and Jerry. I'm talking Scooby-Doo. I'm talking Hey Boo-Boo. Good stuff used to be on TV. Good cartoons, wholesome stuff. Not talking about this crazy stuff that they see now. In the 80s was a great time to watch cartoons, but my favorite cartoon of all times that I would love to watch every Saturday morning was so good that I actually had to go extract a clip from YouTube to give you guys a peek at the greatest cartoon of all times that has ever been created. And it is this right here. I hope they have it together. Yes. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about before Michael Bay started messing stuff up and adding things to it that it didn't exist in the original. I'm talking about when the Decepticons and the Autobots would get it on every single Saturday morning. And we always knew that the Autobots were going to win. Hello, somebody. It was awesome because it was such a great cartoon and it has such a great narrative in the fact that these were aliens from outer space. Hallelujah. Rain down from heaven. Hallelujah. And they would come down from their planet into our planet because they knew that we were in trouble. And the Autobots were coming to stop the Decepticons because the Decepticons had a plan to destroy the human race. So, but they couldn't come down looking like themselves. They had to disguise themselves as vehicles, as everyday artillery and different things that flew and drew and drove and different mechanical vehicles and army vehicles and Humvees and helicopters and jets and all these things, and they would disguise and they would look like everything else in its atmosphere until trouble arose. When trouble would arise, you would hear the sound. And the Autobots would transform from being a regular SUV to a demonic, unbelievable machine of weapons of mass destruction with bombs and grenades and Uzis and everything else you could think that could destroy anything in its path. I love this because it reminds me that the Bible is full of transformers too. I'm talking about people that God has used where if there's the situation, a matter of fact, before I get to the Bible, I think there's some transformers in this room. You let something pop off at your school. You let something happen in your workplace. You let something happen while you over there by the melons in the Walmart, and you get that spidey sense that something is wrong. Some of you will, excuse me, ma'am. I feel something in my spirit. God wanted me to tell you, you shall live and not die. You shall declare the works of the Lord. Can I pray for you? Some of you will transform if you're at high school and somebody's talking crazy and they're talking about doing something crazy. Girl, you know we don't need to be doing nothing like that. Let's pray for them. Let's bless them. Let's do good to those who do bad to us. We got to do this the right way, girl. Come on, let's pray for them. Come on, let's do it right now. See, because I love the fact that we can look like regular people and we can walk in this earth and act like regular people, but the truth of the matter is that there is something amazing about you. There is something that's hidden on the end. You have weapons of mass destruction hidden on the inside that are supernatural. These things that God has given you that you can tap into, this discernment, this thing that God has given you, these gifts of the Spirit that God will allow you to flow in, that these things that He's given you that you can be something supernatural in a natural world, kind of like the Autobots. And so the Bible is full of these people who are transformers as well. Y'all remember other people in the Bible, like my boy Moses. Moses was a transformer because he looked like a regular Hebrew boy until they found him floating down the river, and all of a sudden he transformed into a son, a prince of Egypt, and he was able to go in and learn the Egyptian way to bring deliverance to his people. Hello, somebody. Hannah was regular until she took her son to the place where God was, and she took her son to the temple and she gave him up so that the Lord could use him, because she understood that there was something supernatural about her son, and if she knew she could get him into the presence of the Lord, something amazing would happen. Somebody say amen. Peter and Paul were amazing transformers because they would walk in cities and their shadows would do things to people. They didn't even have to make it happen. It just happened on its own because they walked in that supernatural thing. And how many of you know that Jesus was the greatest transformer that has ever lived? That he stretched his arms wide and he transformed into the shape of a cross and brought salvation to every man, woman, boy, and girl that would ever live on planet Earth. Somebody say transformers. But I want to talk about the transformer of the hour, which is David. And I'm hoping that you can see yourself a little bit in this great transformer, David. I want to give you some points tonight, and I want you to follow along with me. Try to write some of these down. The first point that I want to mention is that David was the youngest one. David was the youngest one. If you're under the age of 30, stand up. If you are 30 or younger, please stand. 30, y'all. I didn't say 32. I didn't say 35. Okay, keep standing. Every single person standing right now, you are the only hope we have for the future of the church. You are the only hope that we have for the next generation that lives in this earth right now. You are the answer to every problem that exists in the earth right now. You are the person that God is going to use. Not just your mama, not Big Mom and them, all that stuff that they used to do and the things that they used to do. Eventually, you're going to have to do those things too, because the same power that lived in Big Mama lives inside of you. And I need you to understand that we live in a serious time where we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that there is a spiritual battle that's going on, and you have to be ready to transform into what God called you to be. And stop allowing your age to be an excuse why God can't use you. You can be 15 and be used of the Lord. You can be 21 and be used of the Lord. You can be 26 and be used of the Lord. You don't have to wait until you get old and you don't want to have fun in life anymore. God can use you just where you are. God can use you just the way that you are. God can use you with your unique ways and your tattoos and your piercings. God can use you with your slang and your terminology and the things that you understand about culture. God can use you with your artistic expressions and the things that you do that no one else can understand. God can use you with your red hair. God can use you with your black hair. God can use you with your brown eyes. God can use you just the way that you are. And I need you to stop using as an excuse that you are too young and you don't know enough. God will use whoever he wants to use. And God chose David amongst all of his brothers to prove to a generation that it has nothing to do with age or stage, but it is God's choice. And I am telling you that you are a chosen generation. You are the royal priesthood. You are that nation that God is waiting to arise to see salvation come to Joplin, Missouri. If Joplin's going to be saved, you're going to be the ones to do it. If someone is sitting next to you, everyone sitting that's around those that are standing, I need you to tap them and say, God's talking to you. God's talking to you. God's talking to you. God's talking to you. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. It doesn't matter how old you are. God's ready to use you. It doesn't matter. So you need to get plugged in right away. I need to see more people serving that's under 30 when I come next time. I need to see everybody at every size, shape, color, age, creed. It doesn't matter. I want to see everybody serving, because God can use you right where you are. And David, thank you so much. You can be seated. David is the youngest, but God has chosen the youngest to be the anointed one that's going to flow and be the next king. And despite popular belief, I talked about this earlier, it's usually the older ones that God would use to do great things, but God is raising up a new generation of young voices and faces and people and influencers that can come into this earth and become all things to all men, that some might be saved. There is something that you know, young people, that we don't know as older people, that you know that can get your generation saved. Somebody say amen. The next thing that David was is, oh, this is good. David was the serving one. When the ceremony was going on and everybody was parading in front of the man of God trying to get the anointing, David was so consumed with serving in the field that he wasn't even present for the ceremony, because all he cared about was serving and doing what he had been given as a responsibility. Do you understand that when you serve, you draw the very presence of God upon you as a generation? Do you understand that when you have a mindset to serve and not be seen, when you have a mindset to serve when no one's watching, when you have a mindset to serve other people with no promise of reward, when you have a mindset to serve, God sees that and he knows that he can trust a heart like that. So David is serving, and while David is serving, the anointing comes and taps him on the shoulder. My God. See, you don't have to look for the anointing that's on your life. God will come and find you. God will make sure that you get what you're supposed to get when you get it. But when he finds you, he needs to find you serving. Touch the person next to you and say, if you're not serving, you're swerving. When the man of God shows up, he finds David in a place of servanthood. He is in the field serving the sheep, and he's called from being outside to come into the ceremony because he was the serving one, because he was consumed with serving, because he was the one who was serving where everybody else was trying to parade themselves in front of the man of God. Number three, David was the forgotten one. Anybody knows what it feels like to be forgotten? Anybody knows what it feels like to have hundreds of thousands of people on social media, but yet you still feel alone? Anybody knows what it feels like to be in a big family, but yet still feel disconnected from everyone? Can you imagine what David must have felt like to come into the room, to see that there had been a ceremony that was happening with his entire family that he wasn't even invited to? Let's just explore the emotions of David in this moment. David being the youngest, not being invited to the ceremony. Some theologians actually believe that David might have been the illegitimate son of Jesse. So that's why Jesse didn't invite him to the ceremony, because the man of God was there. And you don't mess up when the man of God is around. You make sure everything is together when the man of God comes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You dot every I, you cross every T when the man of God shows up. So David, some believe that David was kept outside because the father was ashamed of him, and he didn't want anybody to see that this illegitimate son was there, because David penned something that said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. So this is why theologians believe that he might have been the illegitimate son of Jesse. So can you imagine what it must have felt like, this feeling of being left out and not being accepted and not being seen by his father? Now, you got to understand, there's a special bond here between a father and a son. To have affirmation, acceptance, and approval from your father means so much to a child. Do you understand how much this means to a child? Do you understand how much it means to a human being, period? Oh, hold on. Do you understand how much it means to God? Do you understand that acceptance and approval came from the Lord? Let me help you. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. When God began to create the heavens and the earth, and everything began to sling into motion, and he started making stuff, what does he say about what he created? It was good and very good. This means that God is approving the thing that he has created. He is approving it and saying that it's good and very good. See, I think that there's a three-step system that every individual in here needs in order to fulfill the purpose that God has called you to. I think you need, number one, you need acknowledgement, you need approval, okay? And you need anointing, okay? I'm going to prove it to you. So we keep moving. And then we see in the book of Genesis as well. So now all of a sudden God creates man in his likeness and his image, and man is there, and he breathes his breath into mankind. And now man becomes a living soul, and he lives and he walks amongst the earth. And now he becomes the Spirit of God living in the earth. Let's fast forward to the New Testament. The New Testament, here Jesus is, after 30 years of spending his life in the earth, he's about to be baptized by John the Baptist. And when he's being baptized by John the Baptist, there's these words that come out. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased with. And then all of a sudden the Bible says that the Spirit descends like a dove, and the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and now he goes to do his ministry. He could not go forth until he was acknowledged by his father. Hello, somebody. Not only was he acknowledged by his father, but the next thing that was said was, in whom I am well pleased. So he was accepted by his father. And the last thing that happened was he was anointed by his father. So David is a young boy looking for this same affirmation from his father in this situation, but it doesn't happen. Can I speak to a generation that's still waiting on daddy to do this? Can I speak to a generation that's still waiting on dad to say, you're amazing? Can I speak to a generation that's waiting on daddy to approve of who you are and what you have become? I feel you in my spirit. Can I speak to a generation that's waiting on that? Can I say something hard to you? I posted this morning. I was thinking about this message early this morning, and God gave me something really deep in my spirit. It cut me like a knife, but it was so good and so biblical. Okay? I was coaching a guy that's in my coaching program, and he was telling me, he said, man, I don't want to jeopardize missing Jesse's anointing on my life. So I don't want to move or jeopardize anything. I don't want to do anything that's going to mess that up, because I know that eventually Jesse's anointing is going to come get me. And I said to him, I think you're reading the story wrong. Jesse's oil never touched David. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that Samuel's oil fell on David. What I'm saying is, sometimes our fathers, or our spiritual fathers, or our natural fathers, or authority figures in our life may not give us the approval or the acceptance that some of us need in order to step into purpose and destiny. But I'm here to tell you that God will raise up a Samuel and your generation that will see the call of God that is on your life. And he will acknowledge, and he will approve, and he will anoint, and he will release you into purpose. She will acknowledge, she will approve, and she will release you into purpose. And I just don't want you to get drunk off the fact that Jesse didn't do it when Samuel did. God sent Samuel to release it to you instead. I need you to understand that God always has a ram in a bush that's thinking about you. You're not alone. God sees you. God sees everything that you're doing. And sometimes he will do what he needs to do in your life in an unorthodox way to make sure that you get everything that he called you to get. And it may come in a package that you're not looking for. And it may come from another direction that you weren't looking for it to come from. And it may come from somebody that has a different skin tone than you. And it may come from somebody that has a different background than you. And it may come from someone that you never thought was even thinking about you. But can I tell you, God has you in mind, and he has someone with you in mind as well. Don't let the fact that you have forgotten make you forget that you are anointed. Oh my God. Don't allow the fact that you didn't get what you thought you should have gotten. See, I have every excuse not to be everything that God called me to be. My mother was a drug addict and a prostitute. All of my childhood, I went to 16 different elementary schools. I didn't meet my father until I was 21 years of age. I didn't meet him. And when I met him, I found out he was in worse shape than my mother was. Most of the time, she was out on the streets and on drugs as well. So I realized real quick that I was going to have to be okay with God sending a Samuel in my life that was going to be able to speak life into me and call me into what God called me to be. That I was going to have to be accepting of the fact that it may not come the traditional way, but God is sovereign in the fact that he will send surrogate fathers and surrogate mothers and spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers and people in your life and your pastor at the church who will speak into you and see great things inside of you and say, I see something great in you. I see anointing in you. I see power in you. I see authority in you. And if you can just hold on and believe this anointing that I'm telling you that you have, you can do great things. Thank you for all 10 of you that clapped about that, because you need that. You need to understand that. You need to get this in your spirit, and the fact that it doesn't matter that if you're forgotten by man, you're remembered by God, and God is going to make sure you get what you need. And David is here in this situation, and he's been forgotten about by his father and his brothers, but Samuel has him in mind. Samuel says, go get the lad. We will not sit until he comes. And David comes into the room, and then, my God, he messes everybody up because the oil is released on David and nobody thought that it would. God is about to mess the world up with some of you. God's about to shock everybody that knows you. God's about to do something that's about to change everything about every. People are going to start tripping on you that you never even thought were thinking about you because of the blessing that God has upon you and the anointing that you're going to start. Well, some of you are going to start doing things and people are going to start being upset because they never expected anything like that from you. Can anything great come out of Nazareth? Can anything great come out of Tulsa? Can anything great come out of Joplin? Can anything great come out of Destiny Church? You better believe it can. If you believe that greatness can come out of someone like you, I need 50 of you to make some noise up in this place. And David was the unconsecrated one. Did you hear the text that I was reading? It said before the ceremony happened, okay, says that Samuel took Jesse and his sons and he consecrated them before the ceremony. Can I get someone to jump on keys for me? Did you catch that? When I was reading the text, it said that Jesse and his sons were consecrated by Samuel before the ceremony. Well, there's no way that David was there for the consecration because David was in the field serving. So here we are in a situation where the Spirit of the Lord is about to be poured out and the traditions that are necessary for the Spirit of God to hit the individual that's about to be anointed have not been performed. Some of y'all missing this. What I'm trying to tell you is that God is getting ready to do things in an unorthodox fashion. God is getting ready to take people that are from the gutters, that are taking people from shelters, that are taking people that messed up, taking people from bad backgrounds, taking people that are from cracked up, messed up parents' situation. God is getting ready to take uneducated people. God is getting ready to take broke people, and he's getting ready to do something with them because they missed the ceremony. They're not churchy. They didn't grow up in this system. They don't understand all the Christian culture. But the reason why God can use them is because they're still close enough to culture to save it. So let's stop trying to beat everybody up that comes in that's new. Because God could be trying to use them to save them. Because God will have to use a kinsman redeemer to save a generation. I need somebody that's associated with meth. I need somebody who just came out of that thing that can go into a meth house and say, hey man, God can save you. God can pull you out. I need somebody who's been into prostitution and he can go back out and she can go back into the streets. I need someone who struggled with all kinds of issues and problems that can go back into those same streets and same places and still pull people out of those places. God can use unconsecrated people. Just like my mom was unconsecrated, cracked up, unconsecrated, she missed the ceremony. Doped up, she missed the ceremony. Prostituting so we could have place to stay, she was unconsecrated. But one day in a prison cell, she gave her life to Jesus, hearing a message about Jesus. And because of her being unconsecrated, because of finding God in the most unlikely place, God now uses her to go back into the highways and byways in Dallas, and she now serves as a peer advocate with the city, county judges. And instead of, listen, I'm trying to encourage a David in the room. I feel a David. You're in the room and you're running from me right now. And I'm just trying to catch you before you get out of this sight. I need you to understand this, David. So God is now using her. God is now using her as a peer advocate with the county judges. And instead of throwing every woman that they bring into a prostitution sting in the same category and giving them all the same sentence, they asked my mother what should happen with each woman. You know why? Because she is an unconsecrated one. She came from those streets, so she understands those streets. She came from those places, so she understands how to save people that are in those places. We should stop telling David that he's unqualified because he is unconsecrated. right where you are, God can use you. If you say yes to Jesus right now, God can use you tomorrow. Some of you won't believe it, but I'm here to tell you, God can do anything with anyone at any time, in any place, because He is God and God alone, and we don't get to decide who's good enough to be used. Stand to your feet. Last thing I want to share with you is after David being the unconsecrated, when David was the anointed one, David was, catch this, David was the anointed one. David was the anointed one. David was, I started to call this message Drip Drip, because David was the one that the oil dripped for. And let me tell you something that happened. Tell you what the anointing does in your life. Ready? The night I got saved, I'm just going to testify and tell you what happened in my own life. The night I got saved, 1999, July 7th, I was a 15-year-old boy who had been neglected, left, suffered from low self-esteem, suffered from abandonment issues. I mean, I had all kinds of problems going on. Depression, suicidal thoughts, suicide attempts, all types of things going on in my life. And at this point, I didn't know God and I didn't like Him, because everything that had happened in my life at this point was so unfair. And I had been to so many different schools and so many situations and scenarios, and I just wasn't into Him. But one day, in a service like this, I made up my mind to give my life to Jesus after hearing the message about the prodigal son. And I found myself at an altar, trembling, crying, unashamed, not caring what people around me thought, and didn't care if people didn't think I was hard anymore, because I needed change in my life. And when I gave my life to Jesus at that altar, everything changed. My youth pastor walks up to me and he releases something in my life. He says, "Stand up, Ontario." And I stand up. He releases his hand over me and he has oil going around the sanctuary. And oil is a sign of contact with you and the Spirit of God. And he releases an anointing on my life and he anoints me to go and be something amazing. He released me into my destiny and he began to speak over me and cancel assignments that the enemy had spoken over me. Begin to cancel generational curses over my life. And listen to me. When I stood up from that altar and I left the building, something changed. I went home and tore down posters off my wall because of the anointing. I went home and threw CDs away because of the anointing. I went home and threw my little black books away because of the anointing. I went back to school with Jesus t-shirts on the next day because of the anointing. I went on and graduated on time because of the anointing. I went to summer school before school and after school because of the anointing. The anointing made the difference. And I went to college only to meet my wife because of the anointing. I went to Bible college, graduated with a 4.0 GPA. Imagine that. Guy who didn't learn how to read till his second, ninth grade year in high school because of the anointing. It was not just my salvation that made the difference. It was the anointing that was released on my life that activated destiny inside of me and thrusted me into purpose. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I feel the anointing in the room right now. I came for David tonight. I came for the lost. I came for the forgotten. I came for the unconsecrated. I came for the youngest. I came for you tonight. I came for those who feel disqualified. Came, and God has an anointing in this room right now that I feel in this place that He wants to release in your life, and it is going to make the difference, because there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus, and it will break every chain over your life. If you're a David and you know it, you know that God has marked you. You know that God has pulled you out. You know that he's qualified. You know that he was speaking to you tonight. If you're in this room, David or Davina, I need you to meet me at this altar right now. I'm not going to even do a 3-2-1 countdown. I want David to meet me at this altar. There's an anointing that God's about to release on you at this altar right now, because he wants to do something in Joplin that's going to change the trajectory of other people's lives. There's some people in this room that need to be used of the Lord, and all you are missing is the thing that you've been afraid of the most, which is the anointing. It's not weird. It's not spooky. It's not going to make you shake and convulse. It's going to change your life. It's going to change the people's lives that you come in contact with. It's going to set people free. It's going to give you prophetic words and things that you can see. You're a transformer. You are a transformer, and God wants to use you for his glory to save your generation. Come on. Give me that a little bit. Give it to me. Give it to me.
Hallelujah.
Can we just raise our hands real quick? I feel like there's a few more people that need to make their way to this altar.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There's about to be an anointing that's about to be released in this place.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Come on, can we be Davids and just worship for a moment? Let's draw his presence. Come on.
In the name.
If you're out there and you know it, lift your hands and say,
break every chain.
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 That's it. Come on. Holy Spirit just told me to do something. Every person that's in this room that's filled with the Holy Spirit, that's a leader or someone that pastor would say or deem that can do this, if you're over the age of 30 and you are allowed to pray with people, I need you to make your way up to the front for me. God told me to do something. If you're over 30, Pastor, you help me with this, please. First Lady, can you help me with this? Come this way and come here. Can you guys take a step back for me? Just a quick step back for me. Just a quick step. If you're over the age of 30 and you're coming to pray, come here, turn this way towards the people. Yeah. That's it. That's it. That's it. Yeah. What the Holy Spirit told me to do was to allow everyone that's over the age of 30 that has the anointing of God on their lives to pray for those that are at this altar that are under 30. Even if you're on this side and you're over 30, it's okay. They represent the Samuels in our generation. Pastor, can you come as well? Would that be okay? I just want your authority at this altar. I just want your authority at this altar. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to have a real life anointing ceremony here, where David is in the moment and David has been called into the room. And God is about to release an anointing on your life that's going to break every chain in your life, that's going to break every chain in the people that you come in contact with lives. And he's going to set you free, and he's going to set the people that you're connected to free, because the anointing made the difference in David's life. This is what God called me to do tonight. We need to let it flow. We're going to allow the anointing of God to flow in your life like never before. And you're going to get rid of every stigma. You're going to get rid of every fear that you have of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is supposed to be in the life of every believer. And he came so that you could have what you need to walk in this life, so that you can see spiritual things and you can use those spiritual powers that he placed inside of you. And tonight, it's going to be activated. Tonight, God is going to release that thing. Tonight, God is going to jumpstart it. Tonight, as Samuel lays his hand upon you, the anointing of God is about to be released. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Pastor, we good? Lord, I deputize every person at this altar in the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Spirit, to release a yoke-breaking anointing. Shit! Kadabase. To release a powerful anointing, to release a demon slaying anointing, to release a devil chasing anointing, to release an anointing that would break strongholds here in Joplin and other cities that are surrounding, to release an anointing that will go into schools and stop shooters, to release an anointing that will go into hospitals and see lame people walk again, to release an anointing in the name of Jesus. On the count of three, I want everybody I just touched to step forward. And if all of you here can spread yourselves so they can touch you. Now, this is what I want. I want men touching men. I want women touching women. And I want you to touch them on their shoulders or their hands. Is that all right? Can we do that? And I just want you to pray that the anointing of God would be released in their lives and speak blessing to them. And also call out every gift that God placed inside of them. Can we do it? Can we do it? Can we do it? Can we do it? Let's go. One, two, three. Let's lay hands.
I just feel in my spirit tonight, there's some people sitting out there. You say, man, I want to be up here in the river. I want to be up here where God's anointing is moving. If that's you, I want you to get out of your seat right now, come to the nearest aisle, and say, God, I want more of you. I want to step out, God, into a new anointing. I want to step out into a new season. I'm going to say a prayer over you. I'm going to pray, but I want you to step out of your seat. I want you to come to the front. Come on, step out of your seat. Come to the front. If that's you, you say, God, press in. Come on, come in the front. Press into the front. Press into the front. Press into the front. Say, God, I'm ready. Today, you're hungry for more. You need more. You say, God, I want more. Listen, we can't just always get by with three songs and a 15-minute sermon. Sometimes you need God to say, God, I need to outpour it in your spirit in my life. God, I need a God-changing moment in my life. Where are you, Ben? Come here, Ben. Come on up here, buddy. You're going to earn your keep tonight. Get up here, brother. The man of God, he's going to pray over us as well. Come on, man. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to hand off the mic, and he's going to pray as well. We're going to tag team this thing together. Okay, are you ready? Raise your hands if you're ready to receive a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you right now. God, I thank you right now. The Father, your Spirit, on the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were gathered together in one accord, with one spirit, with one mind. God, I pray right now, the Father, your Spirit would unite us in one accord, with one spirit. Lord, and that's the Spirit of saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, we want more of you. God, we need more of you. And right now, Father, I pray that God, for an increased anointing right now in the hearts of every believer. God, pour it out, Father, in Jesus' name. Pour it out, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we call out greatness of the Holy Spirit. We call out greatness. Lord, breakthrough. Breakthrough generational curses. Breakthrough addiction. Breakthrough mistakes. Breakthrough failures. Breakthrough failures. Yeah, come on now. Say, God, I'm breaking through that. I'm not a victim of my past. I'm not a victim of my mistakes. Cry out to God. Come on, Ben, pray over us.
Somebody shout, Jesus! Father God, in the name of Jesus, we touch and agree right now. We bind and rebuke the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. Depression, you have to go right now. Low self-esteem, we bind you right now. Suicidal thoughts, we command you to go right now in the name of Jesus. This chosen generation that you have at this meeting tonight, this is a historical moment in the name of Jesus. This marks day one of purpose. This marks day one of destiny. This marks day one of a transformation that God is doing in each and every one of our lives. So God, we lift up our hands right now. All over the building, just lift your hands right now and say, Father, I receive your presence. I receive your glory. I receive your anointing. I receive your power from this day forward. In this moment right now, I'll forever remember that you have equipped me, that you have strengthened me, that you have anointed me for such a time as this. No more low self-esteem, no more doubt, no more unbelief, no more fear. Somebody shout fear go right now. Shout fear go right now. Shout fear go right now. Only your presence would dwell on the inside of me. You said if two or three would be gathered, that you would be in the midst. So God, we lift our hands and we put our hands together. We lift up a shout of praise right now. For your presence being with us tonight. Somebody shout, Jesus! There's no grave, there's no name higher than that name. The Bible says that at that name, demons will tremble. Sickness has to flee. Everything that is binding in your life, when you shout the name of Jesus, it must come under that power. Shout Jesus! Shout Jesus!
Do me a favor, grab somebody's hand next to you. There's power in the name, but there's also power in unity, Pastor. And the enemy, his biggest deception is to try to isolate you to feel like you're in this fight by yourself. But by joining hands tonight, it's a symbol that we are not fighting alone. We not only have the power of God with us, but we have the anointing, we have the strength of the person that we're holding hands with tonight. No matter where you come from, no matter what color you are, no matter your background, no matter where you're from, God says this next movement that he's going to do in Joplin is going to take unity in this body. It's going to take everybody being on one accord. Somebody say one accord. So I'm going to invite Pastor Green to come back and close out this service with a final prayer as we hold hands together. And let this prayer that he's going to pray, let it solidify in our hearts that we're better together. Somebody say, I'm better together. I need you to say like you mean it. Say, we're better together. Pastor Green.
You know, Melody just whispered to me, the Holy Spirit's really speaking to her strong, and I believe it's going to be very true. There's some people here tonight that, man, you just say, man, I'm just, Pastor, I can't help it. Depression is just trying to overcome me. I'm really battling. Listen, you don't have to be ashamed of that. We don't have to come in. Listen, ain't none of us got it all together. We just serve a God who's got it all together. And sometimes we just got to come in and say, God, I'm honest, you know. That spirit of oppression is really pressing against me. And tonight, if you want to be set free from that in your mind, in your spirit, I want you to come to the very front row right here. I want you to step up and say, me, that's me, Pastor. Tonight, I'm just really, really bad. Now step to the front. That's fine. Come on up. Come on up. Come here, Melanie. I want you to come up here and join me in prayer. Come on. Do you know what it is to battle depression? You do, don't you? That's why the Spirit's speaking to you tonight. I know that to be very true. Tonight, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to set your mind free in Jesus' name. There's power in the name of Jesus. So right now, church, I want you to stretch your hands toward these people. If you're standing next to somebody, just put your hand on their shoulder and say, it's me. It's all right. Come on. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, in Jesus' name, we declare that our minds are free. Lord, we come against the spirit of fear, the spirit of depression. Father, right now, the spirit of anxiety must leave in Jesus' name. And I begin to pray right now, God, there's a new spirit being released over their life, over their mind, over their heart in Jesus' name. May hope arise. May faith arise in Jesus' name. God, no longer to be living in fear. No longer to be live a slave depression. But God, we're going to walk in the new season. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak out freedom in Jesus' name. Come on, church, pray. Pray like this is your own daughter. Pray like this is your own son. Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, pray. Pray, church, pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray freedom. Be set free in Jesus' name. Be set free in Jesus' name. Yeah, 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 yeah. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Father, in Jesus' name, somebody begin to lift up a praise. Somebody begin to lift up a shout. Somebody begin to shout over them. Shout over them in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name right now. We shout over them, Father. We speak over them, Father. We praise over them. We worship over them. Right now, we speak over them. Right now, God, I pray right now that, God, there is a new day. There's 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 a new day. Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. In Jesus' name. Somebody's being set free right now. Don't stop. Don't stop. Set your mind upon the Lord. In Jesus' name. On to be declared.
I know what it's like to battle this spirit. I have a personal vendetta against them. So I know we're ready to go eat some food from the food trucks and jump around and have a great time. But it wouldn't leave me alone. So I have to tell y'all my testimony real brief. And then we're going to celebrate because Jesus has won some victories in here tonight. So a while back, I was in college, went to the University of Tulsa. And just having a really tough time, studies, relationship, everything that you could think of. My parents were splitting up. I was getting into random just drama on campus that it's like not, you know, nothing unusual for a young adult to go through. Amen. But it was overwhelming because that seed had been planted so many times of telling me that I'm not good enough, that I won't be able to, that this was a mistake, that what are you doing here? What are you doing with this? Why are you even dreaming anything? And the man of God spoke this morning about Joseph talking about dreams. And you know, if you tell your dream to somebody prematurely and how that can spiral out of control, because sometimes the dream is for an appointed time, maybe a vision that you had, but it's not for that season. So don't get discouraged in it. But I didn't know that. And so I was very discouraged, and I found myself alone in my dorm room one night, and I said, if I never left this room, nobody would even know. My roommate was gone for the night, probably somewhere with her boyfriend, wilding out, and I was in there by myself, and I found myself laying face down on my pillow, and I turned around, and I put the pillow on my face, laying on my back, and I felt as if a man, like, this huge, strong person was just pushing this pillow down over my face. No lie. I can't make this up. To the point where my skin was crawling, it got clammy, I couldn't breathe, I couldn't cry, I couldn't scream. Everything in me was silenced and was bottled up. And all of a sudden, I found just enough strength to yell, Jesus! And when I tell you, that pillow flew off of my face, and I didn't push it, it flew off of my face, and immediately I broke. He said, this is how you've been feeling, just bottled up, like you're suffocating, like something is cutting off your voice. But I called you to sing. I called you to talk. I called you to do all of these things that you're doing, and you cannot allow this to silence you. You have been given power to defeat the enemy that is trying to take you out. So I want to encourage every single one of you today, if you're dealing with depression and suicidal thoughts, that spirit is real. And yes, I'm saying spirit, because it's not just a thought. It's not just a thing you dealt with one time. It is a spirit. And we have authority to take over those spirits. We can cast down every vain imagination that exalts itself against the name of Jesus. So if you hear me screaming and singing Jesus at the top of my lungs, that's why, because he saved my life. And I'm not going to stop yelling his name. Jesus! Come on, somebody shout, Jesus! If you're free tonight, shout, Jesus! So we're going to sing one last song, because I just feel a need to dance. I think some people need to dance around, jump around, get a little free in this place tonight. Is that all right? Yeah. Let's do it.